Welcome to another episode of Discover ADN, a podcast dedicated to learning more about the many creative, intelligent, and interesting people that use app.net to communicate with the world. My name is Jason Irwin, and I am the host of this program. Join me in attaching a voice to the words and avatars we see flowing through our timeline, while also getting to know a little bit more about the people who make our social network such a nice place to visit. Want to be in the show or recommend somebody you think is interesting? Get in touch on app.net by sending a message to DiscoverADN. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Tim Pritlove, who goes by his full name on app.net. He is a well-known podcaster the world over and one of the people behind Podlove, a media development company that wants to bring podcasting forward with software solutions and effective new standards, which he'll tell us more about later into the show. Please join me in welcoming Tim to Discover ADN. Hello!
Hello. Hi, Jason.
Let's get right down to business. Can you tell us, when did you join app.net?
I joined it at the very beginning when it was still in the funding phase, and I bought two accounts immediately. I was probably not one of the first who did that, but I was definitely in the first funding round.
Now, that's interesting. Can you tell us, why did you buy two accounts?
Because I wanted to make sure that I have at least two distinct names for sure. I was betting everything on ADN at that point in time.
All right. Well, this leads well into the next question. Why did you join app.net?
Oh, I think it's been an idea whose time has come, and I still think so, although all the trouble that is now looming over the project is pretty bad. But I was really looking for a service that is for users, because I'm so bored and so annoyed by Facebook, Twitter, and all the other services that just, you know, turn on you and you are not the customer. You are not the one who pays, so you are the product. And that's how they behave. And especially when it comes to Twitter, taking away the power from third-party applications, which for me is all about the, you know, the usage, the experience of a system, is how well does it adopt to my behavior? And that's where apps come in. And apps do not have a chance to, you know, really tackle the problem by getting full access to everything. You know, that's a problem. So this was something that ADN was addressing right away. Also, later ideas like this user space where you can put your own data when you publish a photograph. You know all this. You've published a photo on Twitter and then it's somewhere and some weird URL, and then 3 months later it's gone. You know, keeping track of what you've done on the net is quite complicated. It has been so much easier with ADN. So I'm a big fan of the concept, of the idea, and I'm still using it daily, and I really hope it's not going away too soon.
Well, I'm sure ADN is going to stick around for quite some time.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this next question. You use your full name on app.net. Why do you do this? Why not use a pseudonym?
Well, a pseudonym never really made it into my life. I don't know why, but it never really adopted. It's mainly because my last name is very uncommon in general, and especially in Germany. And even the name Tim hasn't been that popular when I grew up. So it was like a free pseudonym somehow. And T.I.M. goes really well into the 80s high school list. So there was no need to go for a nickname, and nothing stuck. So I'm very much used to being myself on the net and you know, be out there as me.
Well, that's great. Okay. Can you tell us, is there anything that you would like to see more of on app.net?
Well, of course, first of all, I would love to see some continuation of the technological development, because I think this is a system that really, really needs more development. And we've seen this break now in development of apps. The first 2 years, the development of apps has just been amazing. I mean, the quality of the apps is still better than anything on any other platform. It's just the best stuff out there. But with developers, you know, turning to other things now, there's going to be bit rot. There's going to be less development and less excitement too. I mean, there's so many low-hanging fruits out there that now it seems nobody is willing to pick, and that's bad. In terms of users, I mean, also the way app.net has dealt with this free tier wasn't really that fortunate. I think many people have been turned away by this weird limit of a maximum of 40 followers. Especially now, this should be dropped, I think. There are other reasons why you want to pay for ADN, and I don't really think it's this extra incentive of having more followers. It's somehow people seem to be turned down by this notion of, no, you're not paying, you shouldn't get any chance of really getting involved, because I think getting involved with people is what attracts you to the platform, and then you discover the value. And I think this was one of the more unfortunate decisions on the ADN crew's part, although they have done quite a few very good decisions too. So that's what I like to see. It's more about the technical stuff. In terms of user interaction, I think it's all just, you know, it's a social network of people, and it doesn't really work so much different than any other network. Or, you know, there's this common understanding of ADN being more discussion friendly, which I think is true, you know, but it's not so much because of the technical details. It's more about what the community is now. If it would have been as popular as Twitter, we would have seen everything, or at least most of the stuff you see on other platforms too, although you might have better tools to deal with them in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. Have you heard of the ADN Future Project?
Yes, I've heard of it. I really like the idea that the community is taking on it. The problem is that the ADN crew is not very open right now what their project plans really are. They've been talking about open sourcing stuff. They haven't really said what and when and in which order and what the involvement is going to be, what the license is going to be, what the general idea of the crew right now is, because everything is now in maintenance mode. We know the company's gone, but you know, what's happening? Are they talking about selling it? Are they talking about, you know, getting another funding round to maybe restart it somehow with a different idea? I don't know. I really loved the ADN podcasts as they were going along in the first 2 years. I think it was a very, very good idea to get in touch with the community. And I really hope there will be another episode after this bad news, because that's necessary if you want to work with the community on something, especially when it comes to saving your project. You know, get into it, you know, communicate, talk to them. One podcast episode can really make a difference. And I think podcasting in general was very helpful to get this project booted in the first place. Dalton Caldwell has even said that himself on many occasions. And I think that the ADN podcast, the official one, was really, really helpful to, you know, understand what the motivation is, why features were designed the way, et cetera, et cetera. And it's also very obvious to see that most podcasters, you know, most of the well-known tech podcasters in the US especially, also in Britain and also in Germany, are on this network. You know, it's like the complete German podcast scene has an account on ADN. Some of them might not use it as much. I do. But it's obvious that podcasting is really a core part of the community here. So that's something to address.
Absolutely. All right, let's change gears just a little bit. Can you tell us, what do you like to be known for?
Well, I know what I'm known for, and I'm probably most known for all my podcasting activity I've been doing since 2005. I've been doing radio 10 years before too, on one show monthly. And when podcasting came along, it was a no-brainer for me. It was just about time to move on and start my own podcasting formats. And that's my life now. It's at the core of everything I do. I produce around 10 shows and in various formats and length. And I'm also very busy in developing open source software for enhancing the podcasting publishing process.
Yeah, this is something that I was going to ask you about, because you work with Podlove, and that is...
The project I was talking about.
Yeah, that's right. So can you tell us a little bit more about that project?
Yes, so Podlove, as you said correctly, is all about enhancing the general idea of podcasting. While the initial idea was very good, it still lacks at many places. The differences between blogs and podcasts are quite unclear, although I think podcasting is a very distinct format, media format on its own. And I think right now this is perfectly clear. We've already talked about this effect podcasting has on communities. So publishing podcasts has been very complicated 2 years ago. And since then, I think with both the Podlove project and also with the Ophonic project, which is sort of in our communities from Austria, and we are in very, very close contact with each other. These two projects have made publishing so easy now, and is going to make it much easier in the future as we go ahead with new versions of the Podlove publisher. That's what we are aiming for. We want to really, really make it very, very easy, not only to publish podcasts, but to publish it better, to have more metadata attached. 2 years ago, nobody was producing anything with chapters. Right now, in our community, at least in Germany, where the acceptance of the Podlove publisher is very good, many people are doing it because it's been so easy to put chapter information into it. And while we're doing it, we're trying to enhancing the standards, both of what you can place into your feed, but also what you can place into the media files itself. In the last 2 years, after a long, long, long sleep on the internet, standards that are 8-9 years old, like chapters and MP3 files, are now coming to life. Open source packages are now supporting it. And I've even heard that the new iOS 8 and macOS 10 is going to support it. So we're getting there. But this is just the first step. We are working on a new web player. We're working on a new framework for enhancing the timeline with all kinds of data. Geo information, transcriptions, chat logs, and many things more. And it's a very complicated process, but we have this very active community of open source developers all under the umbrella of the Podlove project. And we're slowly coming along nicely. And we're really looking for podcast client developers to get in touch with us to, you know, talk about features and formats and see how we can extend the reach to the user.
Well, thank you for working on this project. I've been following some of the work that Podlove has been responsible for, mainly with the RSS. Because when I started building the podcasting features into 10 Centuries, a blogging platform that I have, I had no idea how to make the RSS compatible with all of the readers out there. The documentation that's available on the Podlove website showing exactly how to do this was really beneficial. If nothing else, it saved me so much time, and because of that, it was much easier for me to make the feeds compatible with all of the readers out there, whether it's Instacast, Overcast, some other cast. So that was great. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's there's a lack of understanding of what you can do with a feed, and it's all about missing tools and missing documentation, and there's still a lot to do.
So on that note, where do you see the future of podcasting going?
I think it's the reason why we're tackling metadata is also because I think that this rich experience of having a show delivered around topics and providing all the necessary metadata too, like links to websites. You know, if you have a podcast that is about images, why not put the images itself into the bundle? Things like this. if you have something that is about spatial information, either a travel podcast or news of, you know, world news, or if you are just somebody walking around the city showing places and describing them, why not putting all this geo information into it? So I think this rich delivery of podcasting and melting it with all the other formats on the web, that's one thing. Another thing where I think is, if you look at the function podcasts right now have in the community, especially in the tech world, but it's not limited to that. It's really the place for discussion. It's really the place of debate and reflecting on things. Things are happening. Where do you turn to get more opinion on it? You listen to podcasts. That's really the place. You do not find this on YouTube. You don't find this on TV, of course. Podcasting is really the place where people are discussing it. Of course, you have blogs too, and people are blogging about it, but it's not as interactive. It's not really a discussion. You find these discussions, and you also want to respond to other podcasts by putting a discussion on your podcast too. So I think the networking of all those podcasts is something that we really need to address in the future and where work is being done. Referencing other parts, you know? Telling another podcast that there is some answer to things brought up in your podcast, you know, kind of like this trackback functionality you have in blogs today, too. These are, well, not super easy stuff, but it's also not too complicated to make it. We're working on formats and ideas and features for the players to get this. It's also very important to recommend your formats to the users in a different way, you know, and also get recommendations from your listeners. There's a funny part in your show, you know? Let listeners mark this up. Tell them, like, from here to there in this area, you know? This is a funny part I think everybody should listen to. Why not have it have a way to put this information into your player so that other people, when they first discover this, can automatically select this part. Like, oh, this is funny, I'm going to listen to this instead of listening to 3 hours of an episode where I do not know anybody. But then I get to the interesting parts first. So you make it easier to get into it. And we've also done a lot work on showing the people behind it, because podcasting is all about the people. It's not about audio. It's about people. So we have a feature built in into the Podlove publisher we call the contributors feature, where you can list people and list them with all their context, Twitter accounts and everything, you know, have donation options for them too, to also help with financing of independent podcasting.
Wow, that sounds really, really good. I'm going to have to build a lot of that into 10 centuries. All right. Well, I think this is a good opportunity for us to move to the final question of the show. And this is where we get to recommend some of the people that we find most interesting in our timelines. So could you share with us 3 people who you enjoy communicating with and why?
Oh, man, I mean, there are a lot of friends on app.net. First of all, I also love to recommend the Podlove account, of course, which is the project account, and also the Auphonic system, which is have been very good partners with us. For the German community, there are so many I can recommend. If I could pick one, I would say follow Mr. Egghead at Egghead, who is also a valuable source for stuff. So, and for the English speakers out there, I can recommend my friend Bicycle Mark. Yes, it's a bicycle and it's Mark. And there's maybe a special story to that too. And he's explaining this in his own podcast series, citizenreporter.org. And we're also doing a podcast together, News of the World, which is about world news, which is my only English podcast right now, in case you've asked where you can listen to my stuff. They, you know, everybody who is working on clients has been very interesting for me, because those are the people who are really into the system, which was very good to see for me too, who's really thinking this ADN way. And it was good to know more people who have a different take on social networking in general.
All right. Well, those are some excellent recommendations. Thank you. And I'd also like to thank you for being my guest on Discover ADN today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I look forward to seeing what you and Podlove contribute to the podcasting community in the future.
Thank you.
This concludes the 35th episode of Discover ADN. Once again, I would like to thank Tim for taking the time to chat with me. Show notes for today's episode can be found online at discoveradn.10centuries.com. That's the number 10, centuries.com. Have a nice day!